Welcome to Fairbanks First Assembly Podcast. We hope this message encourages you and blesses you. For more information, please visit our website at fbfirst.org.
Well, I'm Pastor Josh. I'm the kids pastor here, and I'm excited to be finishing our Joseph series. Some of you might be wondering, well, if he's in here, who's with the kids? Man, we've got an unbelievable kids ministry team. I'm often walking through the hallways and things or counting people or just making sure people are in the right spots, and people will look at me and be like, and I'm like, don't worry, it's all right. We've got over 50 to 55 people who are serving in our kids ministry each week, and a larger team than that. Many of you are on that team, so thank you so much. We love kids here, and we love kids learning about God. Not babysitting. Okay, that's not what we do. If you sign up to serve, you're not serving as a babysitter. You're teaching kids, and I'm just excited to be in here. When Pastor Mark asked me to preach, and I found out that I was the Sunday after Krispy Kreme donuts, I was a little upset with him because he set me up to try to beat that. And it's impossible when you fly up donuts from Anchorage. But I'll do you this. If you guys want to grab the serve card in front of you and fill that out, I promise, check kids ministry, I promise to feed you Cheerios and Goldfish every week. Okay, that's an every week thing that you serve. I'm happy to do that for you because we love you and love that you serve with us. But today's going to be a good day. We're finishing out our Joseph series. How many of you guys have enjoyed the Joseph series? It's been an unbelievable series looking at the life of Joseph and the journey that he went on. And obviously, a couple weeks ago, we started the journey. He was in the pit. Well, today, we find him in the palace. You can see from pit to palace. Today, I get the palace part, which I'm thankful for. It's good. And today, we're going to talk about what do I do when I reach the top. Now, you see, in the church, we're really good at talking about what to do when life is hard, what to do when things don't go my way, and that's awesome. That's really good. But we need to talk about how to handle success, how to handle when we get on top, and that's what we're going to do this morning. You know, we've had a great series, and lots of examples come to mind when we look back the last 4 weeks, but even when you think about people who have reached success or had success in their life, and then they fumble it or they fail because they got to the top and they didn't know how to act. You know, I think about the quarterback for the Oakland Raiders, David Carr. He loves Jesus a lot. And I don't know if you saw when he signed his multi-million-dollar year contract. The first thing that he said at his press conference was that he was going to write his tithe check. That's a big tithe check, I can tell you that. And we wouldn't mind if David Carr attended our church. You can look at his life and see how he's stayed rooted in who he is and what he's done. But we can all think of somebody, and it probably came to your mind, of somebody who didn't handle it right. As Christ followers, we want to be people that handle success right. Because people are watching. People are, if you're a parent, your children are watching you, or your coworkers, or whatever it is, and you may be a person who finds yourself on top right now. You may have had the best week of your life, and when it comes to being a parent, because you got your kid potty trained, that's awesome. That's palace position right there, okay? I'm not in the palace with our little Nora yet, and so we're still praying for that. But maybe you made a great business deal, or in your relationship, or whatever it is, you find yourself on the pinnacle. How do you act? Joseph today is going to give us a great example of how to act when you reach the top. First week, we talked about what do you do at the worst day of your life. Second week, we talked about what do you do when you feel like you've been stabbed in the back. What do you do third week? What do you do when you feel like you've been forgotten? And today, what do you do when I'm back on top? Now, if you look at the Bible and you read Scripture, I want to caution you. Today, Joseph ends on top, but you look throughout the Bible. You see, the Bible is full of true stories of real people who lived. And not everybody in the Bible ends on top. You can think of Samson, Saul, and Solomon in the Old Testament, and none of those guys ended on top. And then you look in the New Testament, you have Peter, who was martyred, Paul, the same thing, and even John. Their lives didn't end on top. And most of Joseph's story is in the pit, but today we find him on top. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, we're going to the top. We're going to the top. We're going to make it a little interactive today like Kids Church, if that's all right. Let's review, though, our Joseph's life and find out how he got here. Maybe you missed a couple of weeks. Joseph was the 11th brother of 12 siblings. How many of you guys have a lot of siblings? Anybody know what that life is like? And he was one of the younger ones, but he happened to be dad's favorite. Now, I believe at some point, and a lot of you guys are parents in here, how many of you guys agree that you have a favorite? If you're sitting next to your kid, don't feel free not to answer that. But I've always argued with my in-laws that there's got to be a favorite, right? And so I'm finding out whether I will have a favorite between Zeke and Nora. I'm not there yet. But Joseph, I'm still figuring it out. Joseph was the favorite. He got a special gift from his dad, a coat of many colors and all these things. And so he's the youngest favorite. His brothers didn't like him. Well, he has this dream that one day his brothers are going to bend down and worship him. And so he comes out as a giddy little kid, and he's excited. Say, guys, guess what I just had a dream about, right? And he says it, and they're not as happy. Yeah, some of you guys have siblings who do that, where the older or the younger, and you're pulling them apart, and you're like, ah, that's what was going on here. And so they didn't like him so much that they faked his death. They threw him in a pit, told dad that he died. Dad was devastated. They sold him into slavery, travels to Egypt, gets sold to a military, high-ranking military official named Potiphar, and God's hand was on him. Now, that's a really bad place to be, slavery in a pit, away from your family, completely different culture. But we look at Joseph's entire story, and we see that God's hand was on him the entire time. So he was shown favor in Potiphar's house, was put in second command of all of that. Well, Potiphar's wife took a liking to him, and that didn't go well. And he was a man of integrity, and so he ran from it. And because he did that, left his coat, all this stuff, gets thrown in jail. All right, another bad place to be. But again, God's hand was on Joseph, because he wasn't just put in the prison of regular Egyptian people. He was put in Pharaoh's prison. So he was with and surrounded by important people, and God used that as an opportunity to use him for great ways. So he was given the opportunity to interpret the cupbearer to the Pharaoh and the baker's dreams, and he did that. And he said, "Yo, cupbearer, remember me." Well, cupbearer didn't remember him, so 2 more years in jail. And so this is where we land today. We're going to be in Genesis 41, 41 through 44. We're going to read that real quick. If you're taking notes or following along on our YouVersion app, I want to encourage you to do that. You know, we tell kids in kids ministry all the time, take notes. I believe God's going to speak to each and every single one of you this morning. When he drops something on your heart, I want you to be ready to write that down so you don't forget it. You can check our YouVersion app. Those of you who are watching online, thanks for watching. Let's read Genesis 41. It says, "And Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'I hereby put you in charge of the entire land of Egypt.' Then Pharaoh placed his own signet ring on Joseph's finger as a symbol of his authority. He dressed him in beautiful clothing and placed the royal gold chain around his neck. Pharaoh also gave Joseph the chariot of second in command." I ain't worried about the clothing. I ain't worried about the necklace, but if I can have a sweet chariot, I'm in. How many of you guys in? Anybody? Okay, good. Wherever he went, the command was shouted, "Kneel down." Joseph was put in charge of all of Egypt. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am the king, but no one will move a hand or a foot in the entire land of Egypt without your approval." Now, how many of you guys think that that is the palace place right there? That's quite the roller coaster journey for Joseph. Now, how many of you guys have been to the fair so far this weekend and you like those roller coaster rides, okay? You will not find me on any of those, but we all just went on one, because that was quite the journey from pit to prison to Potiphar, all this stuff, and now he's on top, second in command. You guys may be on that pinnacle moment, or you may be still in the pit. Anywhere in between the journey, what we're going to look at today in Joseph's life are some things that we can add to our life to help us know what to do when we're on top. Because I want to encourage you with this. You may be in the pit now, but you're not always going to be in the pit, okay? Or you may be on the pinnacle, you may be in the palace, and how do we as Christ followers want to live our lives so that we handle success correctly? Let's look at Joseph's life for this week's character trait. Over the last couple of weeks, we've talked about perseverance, about how to persevere when we're in the pit. We talked about integrity, building a good reputation, not seeking revenge, having an eternal perspective. I love that week in the sermon, not having self-pity, but trusting God. Today, we're going to talk about gratitude. Everyone say gratitude. How many of you guys know that gratitude comes difficultly, right? Or maybe you parents are like, yeah, I'm working with my kids on that right now. If they just get it. Gratitude does not come easy. And as humans, we're professional at whining, complaining, and wishing that things would go our way. Right? I mean, I come from the South. I was born and raised in Oklahoma, and we still have front porches. And I know some of us have porches here. But man, back in the day, people just sit around at home and whine, complain, and talk about things that were wrong, right? And then we move to like restaurants or cafes and do the same thing. Now they've given us Facebook, right? And Facebook is like the platform for you to whine and complain professionally so that the world can see. Right? And don't raise your hand. How many of you guys have some people that you know? You don't want to see that, right? Because then it just fills your mind with all these things. Let me give you a hint, okay? You can unfollow a person without unfriending them, okay? I've done that a couple times, and they have no idea that I did that, all right? So if you have some whiners and complainers that you're friends with on Facebook, just unfollow them, and you'll have a better week. But we're professionals at whining and complaining, and we're really bad at people of gratitude, of being thankful for what we have and where we're at and how we got there. Joseph was a man that was mature in his relationship with God and knew how to handle the success because of the process. How many of you guys know that baking or selling a house or whatever you work at, it's a process? What does God teach us in the process? See, as we grow in our relationship with God, we learn to focus on God, whether we're in the pit or in the palace. We gain character traits and develop a close relationship with Jesus that help us when we get to the top. So we're going to look at four things that Joseph did to show gratitude for his palace moment. The first thing, again, if you're taking notes, write this down. The first thing is, praise God for getting me out of the pit. This is the first thing that we should do, but oftentimes it's not, right? Because of the long process, because of the things that we go to, oftentimes we forget to be grateful. We forget to thank God for bringing us along the way. And we say, hey, look at me. Look at how I got here. Look at what I did. Point A, B, C, D, and then whatever. Or oftentimes we forget to thank God because when we get to that pinnacle moment, life gets busy. How many of you guys know life's busy, right? Life gets busy with kids or job or school, whatever it is, and we forget to be grateful in the moment because the pinnacle moment requires much of us. But if we look at Joseph and we follow his example, we learn to praise God for getting us out of the pit. Let's look at that in Genesis 50:20. You see, Joseph gives us a mature, godly response of how to handle that moment and thank God. This is at the end of his life. This is after he was in charge of Egypt for a long time, brought his entire family to Egypt from Israel, all this stuff. This is his deathbed, and this is what he says. He says, as far as I'm concerned, God turned into good what you meant for evil. He brought me to the high position I have today so that I could save the lives of many people. Joseph's at the end of this road. Doesn't point at himself, he points to God. How can we point to God, whether it's personally or point others to God? Joseph points people to God. You see, the question is raised, who turned to evil what is good? God did. He's the only one who can do that. As sin-bent people, I mean, we tend to be selfish and all those things. When we grow closer to God, we move away from that as much as we can. But originally, we are people who take good things and make it bad. Right? We are people who kind of get our ideas and thoughts and things in there, and we mix it up, and maybe we mess it up because we're not in tune with what God's want, and we make it messy. God's the only one who can take evil things and make it good. And if we are used by God to take evil things and make it good, it's not our doing, but by his doing, right? Because he's using us to do these things. And oftentimes the reason why we forget to praise God is because we don't really have a great understanding of what praise is. Now, how many of you guys enjoyed worship this morning? I mean, I love gathering together as a church and coming and worshiping God. I'm with Pastor. I felt God's presence very strong this morning. I love worshiping God. You see, worshiping God is praising God for who he is. You know, that's one of the things that we do every week in our kids' ministry is each week, and if you guys use the at-home weekly and use it as a resource to disciple your kids, you'll see that every week our big idea, we call it the ponder point, is something about God. It's not, I can listen, I can obey, I can do this, I can do this. Because we want to teach God, kids who God is, and it's from a better understanding of who God is that we're really transformed. You see, God is Redeemer. He's Lord. God's involved in our lives. How many of you guys are thankful that God's involved in your life? And you look at Joseph's life and you read Scripture, and God was involved every step of the way. Whether he was in the pit, God had a plan. He was in Potiphar's house and now in jail, God had a plan. God had a plan. He's involved. God is a just God. He's a real God. He's never failing. We worship God and thank him for that. But how many of you guys like it when you receive praise for the things that you've done? Someone encourages you or high-fives you, tell you you did a good job, writes on your Facebook wall, whatever it is. We love that because we love to be encouraged. We love to be praised. When we praise God, we're praising God for the things that he's done. We're saying, God, God, you are good. You are great. We thank you that you did this. We thank you that you went before us. God, you are worthy. I want to look at David. A great example of this is David, 1 Chronicles. Now, this is hundreds of years after Joseph. But David was king of Israel. He had this goal and this plan and this dream to build a temple. You see, before they had an actual building, they were in a tent and traveling as lame, right? It was like tent revival every week. I don't know if you guys ever grew up going to tent revivals. I did. Not a cool place. I like this place, a building. And David wanted a building for people to come and worship God. And in 1 Chronicles 29, they had a goal. They raised money. They were able to build the temple. And this is what David said. It says, then David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly. The entire nation was there to celebrate God, to praise God, to worship him. O Lord, the God of our ancestor Israel, may you be praised forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is thy greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours. O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you. As the one who is over all things, wealth and honor come from you alone. For you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand. And at your discretion, people are made great and given strength. O Lord our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. Can you imagine being there in that moment? David, again, didn't say, look at me. But he began to praise God for what he had done. I believe in first service, God laid it on my heart as I was reading that. Next week, when we're at one day, we go out there and we water baptize people, and you have over 900 people at this service, and great things are happening, we'll be able to say these same things. Because what God's doing at True North Church, like Pastor said, is not anything that we could do on our own. It's God's hand and favor and grace upon his desire to see people in our city come to know Jesus. We get to be a part of it. So I believe next week we're going to praise God for things that we could have never imagined. I believe if you asked Pastor Mark 3 years ago when he got here, can you imagine renting Lathrop High School and having 1,000 people in that auditorium? He'd probably thought you were crazy. But that's when God does things and we just are a part of it, right? One of my favorite verses when it comes to prayer and doing things is it's in Proverbs. The horses are made ready for battle, but the battle is won in prayer. We can do all that we can try to do, but when we pray and we rely on God, greater things could be in store than we could ever imagine. You see, praise is recognizing that God is the power behind success. If you're taking notes, write that down. Praise is recognizing that God is the power behind our success. I want to ask you a question. What kind of vocabulary do you have when it comes to describing God? What words do you use? You read Chronicles and you see all the things that David used to describe who God was. What words describe God? And I want you to, just real quick, in this moment, think of a time where God answered a prayer, helped you reach a goal, maybe helped you get out of a pit. I want you just to praise him right now in this moment. Just in your own words, praise God. God, we thank you. Praise God for getting me out of the pit. That's the first thing we learned from Joseph. The second thing is this. Forgive those who put me in the pit. Rough. Well, it's because of them I even had to go in the pit. Why do I got to forgive them? I'm here because of my hard work. Again, if we forget gratitude, we forget worshiping God, we forget how we get here, we tend to be people who don't want to forgive those who caused us the trouble and the trials ahead of time. And Joseph had a lot of people to be upset with, right? I mean, he had his brothers, first off, 10 of them. who put him in a pit because of his dreams, because of who he was, and started this terrible, terrible journey. He had the Potiphar's wife to blame. Well, I was in a good spot. I got to second command of Potiphar's house. I was being used. I was doing all these things. I wasn't gonna, and then you, lady, go off and ruin it. I'm not blaming women there. That's not what that was. As I said that, I was like, Or he has the cupbearer. I helped you interpret your dream. I said, don't forget me. And you got out of prison and you forgot me. And I sat here for 2 more years. I mean, this is what this guy's gone through. This is a 13-year journey that Joseph's on. From the moment he was in the pit from his brothers to the moment he becomes second in command, 13 years. I want to encourage you, if you feel like you've been in a pit for a really long time, God's with you. He knows exactly where you're at. And you're not going to be in the pit forever. This is how Joseph responds to his brothers. This is after they've come to ask him for food because he interpreted a dream of Pharaoh's. There was going to be 7 good years, 7 bad years. And those 7 bad years were not just in Egypt, but everywhere. And so his brothers living in a completely different country come because they know that Egypt has food. And they have no idea that their brother, Joseph, is the one that has allowed Egypt to have plenty because he listened to God. And this is what he says. He says, I am Joseph, he said to his brothers. Genesis 45, 3 and 4. Is my father still alive? But his brothers were speechless. Now, he's been in Egypt for 20 years. He looks like an Egyptian. He talks Egyptian. He doesn't look like a Hebrew. They thought this guy was dead. And here, the second in command, I mean in a palace, says, I'm your brother. They're probably tripping out. How many of you guys would be tripping out? You'd be like, we better run because he's going to kill us. But this is what he says. They were stunned to realize that Joseph was standing in front of them. He says, come over here. Hello. So they came closer. Love that they added that. The writer added that. They came closer and he said again, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery. Weeping with joy, he embraced Benjamin. And Benjamin also began to weep. Then Joseph kissed each of his brothers and wept over them. And they began talking freely with him. You see how he treated them. Weeping with joy. He didn't forgive them in that moment that they walked into his court and asked for food. I believe that he forgave them years before when he was in the pit. You see, as people, we let bitterness and frustration and anger because of the way people treat us root inside of us and ruin our pinnacle moment. Can you imagine if Joseph had allowed the bitterness and unforgiveness to ruin his moment? He wouldn't have been used by God the way that he was. He didn't let it root. If you don't forgive the people who got you to the pit, or maybe put you in the pit, then real quick, in your pinnacle moment, you're going to find yourself in another pit. And only this time you have yourself to blame. You see, I found myself in a pit of unforgiveness due to a previous employer that I had, and I didn't realize that bitterness and frustration and hurt and pain was putting lenses on my eyes that was, any time I heard or saw or anything that they did, I was frustrated, mad, angry. And they were doing great things for great people. And I remember a number of years ago, we went to Alaska Youth Conference in Anchorage. Youth leaders, our kids from all over the state come for a conference. And we were there, and I was there. And I remember the speaker said, there's some of you in this room that deal with frustration. You say, I didn't even know. He said, you deal with forgiveness, unforgiveness. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit began to rip in at my heart and opening my eyes to the fact that I had this rooted bitterness and anger within my heart. And he said, if you deal with this on the count of three, I'm going to count. And on three, I want you to shout that person's name. And I mean, God was, I was like, ah. It's not fun in that moment, right? I mean, maybe you guys have been there when you're dealing with that. But when the Lord opens your eyes to things, you walk through it. And I mean, when he said three, I shouted this guy's name at the top of my lungs 3 times. I mean, there's 1,000 kids and I'm just shouting, ah. But can I tell you that when I took that spiritual step, and I realized that, and I shouted his name. It's as if God ripped the unforgiveness and hurt and bitterness and pain off my back. I mean, I physically felt it, spiritually felt it. And that guy is one of my best friends, and I wouldn't be who I am today if it wasn't for him. And can I tell you that I look at everything differently now? Maybe you're in a point or in a place where you need to forgive someone for what they've done to you. It may have been 20 years ago or longer, or it may have been last night. But if we allow unforgiveness to root in our hearts, we won't be able to help others or know how to handle success when we get to the top. You see, Colossians 3:13 says, "You must make allowances for each other's faults and forgive the person who offended you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you can forgive others." Maybe you need to forgive somebody and the Lord's speaking to you, but maybe you need to forgive yourself for the pit that you're in. Might not just be somebody else, it may be yourself. Maybe you made a bad decision, a poor choice, somebody in your family or your business or whatever it is. Forgive yourself. When we ask God for forgiveness, He forgives us immediately. Oftentimes, we're harder on ourselves than we are on other people, right? Forgive yourself. And forgiveness is hard, but we know that with God's help, we can do it. And it's a process. So we worship God for getting us out of the pit. We praise God, all those things. We learn from our time in the pit is point number three. We learn from our time in the pit. How many of you guys, as parents, you just wish that your kids would listen to you and say, "I've been there, I've done that, don't do it." Right? I remember my dad told me that. I'm like, "Dad, you're old. Things are different now, okay? The world is different. We all have phones that we carry in our pockets." It's not true, but that's what I thought, you know? But we can learn lessons from our time in the pit. Look at Deuteronomy 4:9. "But watch out, be careful, never to forget what you yourself have seen. Do not let these memories escape from your mind as long as you live. And be sure to pass them on to your children and grandchildren." Church, I want to tell you, if you haven't learned from the lesson in the pit, you'll find yourself right back in the pit. Learning lessons from from life is the best ways that God uses those moments. I love what Pastor's been talking about. It's not praying, "God, get me out of this pit," but, "God, what do you want me to get out of this pit? What do I need to learn? What are you molding and shaping me into?" Parents, can I also encourage you to help your kids see the way that God's working in your lives or your family's life? Nothing will build the faith of your child more for them to know that your family relies on God. And when God answers a prayer or helps you out of a pit, together as a family, you celebrate God. Now, obviously, you share those pit moments in an appropriate way. But your kids are watching how you handle the pits or the seasons that you go through. And as parents, we have the opportunity to help our kids know who God is. And the last thing is this: help others who are still in the pit. That's exactly what Joseph did. Genesis 45:9-11 says, "Hurry, return to my father and tell him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me master over all the land of Egypt. Come down to me right away. You will live in the land of Goshen so that you can be near me with all your children and grandchildren, your flocks and your herds, all that you have. I will take care of you from there. For there are still 5 years of famine ahead of us. Otherwise, you and your whole household will come to utter poverty.'" He's at his pinnacle moment. He sees his family in need. He's already forgiven them, and he says, "Come with me. I'll take care of you." Can I tell you that your legacy is not that you survive the pit, but how you help people out of their pit? There are people that are outside the four walls of this church who'd never think about stepping in here. And that's why God uses us to go to them, to shine a light, and to help them out of their pit. It may be drugs, addiction, relationship, finances, job, no hope, whatever it is. But God wants to use us to help people out of their pit. You see, I'm reading a book right now on culture and how to help your kids navigate through that. And it's crazy and all these things. And we're like, "I want to raise a Christian kid, but it's terrible out there. What do I do?" And he says, as Christian parents, we're asking the wrong question. Because we ask, what is too far? How far is too far? Can they go see that movie? Can they go listen to that? Should we go do this? Should we bring these people in our home? What do we do? Those are all great questions to ask. But he's suggests asking the question, not how far is too far, but what is my salvation for? You see, church, we're not people who are saved to come to church on Sundays and then go back to our homes and be saved. As Pastor talks about, we are called and sent on a mission to go bring people to Jesus, disciple them, baptize them, and do it all over again. We can be used by God to help others out of their pit. Philippians 2:3 says, don't be selfish. Don't live to make a good impression on others. Be humble, thinking of others is better than yourself. Don't think only about the affairs of you, yourself, being interested in others too and what they are doing. You see, Jesus is the greatest example of that. But Jesus employs us into God's redemptive plan of helping people to come to know him. You see, that's how we handle success, church. We point people to God. And that's counterculture to the culture that we live in. The culture says, you take the limelight. You take all the success and praise and worthy. But as people who love Jesus and love God and know that it's only because of him that we're out of it, we worship God. We forgive those who got us there. We learn from our mistakes and our time in the pit. But we help others out of the pit. And that's why I believe that God has his hand on this church and what we're doing. It's because it's not about having church. It's about bringing people to Jesus. And that's what I love. There's one character trait that we learn about God in this entire story. And that's that God is faithful. No matter where you find yourself in the pit, I want you to walk out of here today knowing that God is faithful. He's with you wherever you go, and he's there to help you. Pastor Mark.
Dr. Seuss says it this way, a person's a person no matter how small. And what I love about today, and I'm almost in tears, for 20 years I worked with students before I became a lead pastor. And I had parents come up and say, so when do you become a real pastor, Mark? And I felt like looking at them saying, well, because when I get done working with your fake kids. Because I felt like I was doing real pastor work, just with teenagers. Aren't you proud to know that at True North, your kids are in good hands? Your grandkids are in good hands? Great word, Josh. And it doesn't matter where on this property ministry happens. We try to make sure it happens with quality leaders. And Josh, you're epitome of that. And so, I love what David said. Maybe you're here today and you go, Mark, great word, Pastor Josh, but I find I'm in quite a pit myself. Maybe you've dug yourself a big hole in regards to your relationship with God. Maybe you feel like you're so far from God, there's no way back. And I'm here to say, David said it this way. I want to read what David said as we close. David said, this thing's recalibrating. No, he lifted me up out of the slimy pit and out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. And then he says this, and he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. He says, I was in a pit, but God picked me up and put me on a rock, and then he gave me a new song. Why? Some of you have been singing the wrong song over and over and over and over. You ever hummed that song and thought, how'd that get in my head? Some of you have been singing that same song. If I get to the weekend and I can get drunk or I can get high or I can get the right girlfriend or the right boyfriend or the right, and you're tired of how that song leaves you. And I'm here to say there's a God who has a cross that's the ladder out of your pit, my friend, and he can pick you up through the grace of Jesus Christ, and he can forgive you of the pit you're in, that slimy, muddy mire, pick you up and put you on a firm foundation. If you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I want to pray a prayer with you. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. Every single one of us. We've all sinned. We have to admit we've sinned. Number two, we have to believe that Jesus died on the cross to forgive us of our sins. That's B. A, admit. B, believe. And lastly, the Bible says we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that he was crucified, buried, and raised from the dead, we'll be forgiven. So if you're in a pit today, I've got good news for you. There's one way out of that pit. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and the pit we're in, and his name is Jesus, and it's the cross. So all across this place, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, would you bow your heads and close your eyes? And I'm going to invite you to join me in a prayer right now. And now, friends, it's not just a prayer. It's a prayer that says, God, hi. Want to get out of where I'm at, and I believe you're the only way. If that's you, just repeat this prayer silently. Dear Jesus, today, would you get me out of my pit? I've dug a deep hole. My choices and my sins have separated me from you. I admit I've sinned, but I believe you died on the cross for me. So God, today, would you forgive me for my sins? Would you be my Savior and be my life leader, Lord? Help me serve you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says, when one person who's in a pit prays that prayer, there's more rejoicing over that one person that repented than 99 people who already go to church. So congratulations. Congratulations, man. The angels were peering down. Maybe they're watching our live stream with their technology in heaven. And they're going, yeah, there's free food on every aisle in Costco in heaven because we're having a party right now. Someone gave their life to Jesus. Would you stand as we sing this song together? But as we sing this song, listen, if you prayed that prayer today for the first time, or you came back to Jesus today, while we sing that song, there's a phone number. It's going to be on the screen. And just type the word prayer to that number. And for the next 5 days, we're going to send you a 3-minute video to talk about the brand new you, the prayer you prayed, what it means, and the next steps now. What's the next step? How to pray, how to read your Bible. We'll also connect with you. But let's sing this song today as we close. This Wednesday night, if you have teenagers here, my wife and I, we're doing a Q&A with the teenagers. And we're talking about dating. Dating, sex. We're going to talk about purity, not sex. How's that? And so it'll be Q&A. Parents, you can come with your students. And if you want to write the questions you want to hear them have answers for, you can write questions too. And so this Wednesday, 7 o'clock, two things as we leave. On your way out, if you sign up for water baptism today or last week or online, go by the Connect desk, grab a water baptism postcard. It's an invite to your friends. Invite your friends to join you. What a great way to tell your friends, I'm making a public confession of faith. And I want my friends to be there for your friends might come to know Jesus. If some of them are far from God, what a great way to invite them. Pick up some invite cards. Also, invite friends out for one day. Come prepared. Water baptism with the end of service outside. It's going to be a beautiful sunny day, right? Okay. And then we have we're going to have a big barbecue meal. Lunch is going to be a burger or hot dog, fries, and a drink for $5. All the proceeds, all of the profit goes to Uganda. And come prepared for a special missions offering. God loves you. I love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday or Wednesday night, teenagers. God bless.